Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Monash IVF Group Half Year Results Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. David Morris, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Amber. Good morning and welcome to the Monash IVF Group 2018 first half results. With me today is our CFO, Michael Knaap, who will be presenting our financial results. We will be presenting the document which is available on the ASX website and the Monash IVF Group website. As an introduction to the company, Monash IVF Group is a leading provider of fertility care, diagnostics, and women's ultrasound services. We achieved the world's first pregnancy in 1973, and since that time, and with our help, over 40,000 babies have been born. We operate out of 22 fertility clinics and 17 ultrasound clinics in Australia and Malaysia. We have 107 fertility specialists and sonologists who are supported by a team of 120 scientists and over 400 nursing, allied health and corporate personnel. I am honoured and excited to join such an innovative company that is at the forefront of fertility treatment. I have been in my position since mid-November 2017, and in this short time, it is clear to me that our success has been and will continue to be based on our strong brand and heritage, our capable clinic network, and our good science and innovative technology. Most importantly, our success is made possible by our pioneering culture, our motivated clinicians and scientists, and our passionate and talented people with abundant capabilities and deep experiences. I would now ask you to turn to page 4 of the presentation for a summary of the first half FY18 results. Our financial results for first half 18 have been impacted by operational challenges specifically related to changing competitive dynamics and investments in building a strong foundation for the future. We have a demonstrated track record of success and we maintain our long-term view of the stimulated cycle's growth rate. Our ARS international growth continues to be strong and we will leverage our capability to build our international operations. Diagnostic and ultrasound capabilities have grown as we build our in-house capability and expand our ultrasound footprint. NPAT is down 20.9%, which is in line with our AGM guidance in late November last year. We have developed a strategic roadmap that will guide us to deliver sustainable value creation while making a significant contribution to social good. I will now go through each of these points in more detail. Our financial results in FY18 first half have been impacted by some operational challenges already alluded to. Our revenue is $77 million, our EBITDA $20.8 million and our NPAT $20.1 million. We are pleased to announce an interim dividend of 3.4 cents. We have demonstrated a track record of strong performance based on both operational and financial measures, with the number of patient treatments growing at a five-year CAGR rate of 6.2% and our revenue growing also at a five-year CAGR rate at 10.6%. This bodes well for our long-term performance. We maintain our strong view of the long-term stimulated cycle growth rate to be approximately 3% per annum. Our key market stimulated cycles increased by 5.7% and the key market simulated cycles, excluding Queensland, increased by 1.6%. Australian stimulated cycle market increased by 5.9%, primarily driven by 23.6% growth in Queensland. Our ARS business in Australia has been impacted by operational challenges related to changing competitive dynamics, the impact of a high volume doctor departure, and investments in building a strong foundation for the future. From an operational perspective, stimulated cycles have decreased by 10.5%, primarily driven by Victoria, although frozen embryo transfers have increased by 0.5% as existing patients continue to return to Monash IVF. In the first half, market share for our key markets has decreased by 4% to 21.9%. Victoria market share has decreased due to high volume doctor departure, as mentioned previously, and we expect this impact to continue in the second half of 18. Queensland market share decreased primarily due to a low-cost competitor. South Australia market share has decreased due to increased competitive pressures, and our New South Wales market share has decreased due to transition of the Mossman Clinic to a premium offering. As a result of this, our revenue has decreased by 5.9%. Although our stimulated cycles have increased by 2%. Doctor recruitment continues to ensure appropriate succession plans and long-term growth, and our cost base has increased as we continue to invest in building a strong foundation for future operations, our people, science and technology, and our international business. There have been some one-off costs incurred were associated with doctor departure and restraint legal proceedings, recruitment of key personnel, and an organisation restructure. Our international business continues to grow very well. We will leverage our capability to build our international operations further. ARS revenue increased 25.8% to $3.9 million. As stimulated cycles grew 22.2% to 413 cycles. EBITDA increased by 49.5% to 1.6 million, and the EBITDA margin increased by 5.5% as incremental volumes leverage the cost base that we have in this business. We relocated to a new state-of-the-art facility in KL. This provides us the capacity to meet growing demand and deliver a positive customer experience, which I'll talk about in more detail as we go through our operating objectives. Doctor recruitment continues to ensure appropriate succession plans and build a strong foundation for our long-term growth. We have an international business development manager based in Singapore, and he continues to review opportunities subject to strict investment criteria. Our diagnostic and ultrasound business have grown as we build our in-house capability and expand our ultrasound footprint. NIPT revenue contributed to an additional $1.6 million of revenue, and earnings are in line with expectations. NIPT volumes increased by 30.3% to 6,282, of which all were performed in-house. This complements our ultrasound business and provides an improved customer experience. Pre-implementation genetic screening and diagnosis declined by 5.6% in the first half, commensurate with ARS volume decline, with a penetration rate of 20%. Which means one in five people are using this screening. Ultrasound scan volumes were 38,097, which is a 1.5% growth over the prior corresponding period. Our new Gold Coast ultrasound clinic opened, which increases our national ultrasound footprint. I will now hand over to Michael, who will take you through our financial overview in more detail.
Thank you, David, and good morning to everybody. I'd like to have a look at the P&L in the first instance for the first half of 2018. As David advised, NPAT was down 20.9% for the half, which was in line with our guidance at the AGM in November 2017. David also alluded to that this was due to changing competitive dynamics, departure of a high-volume doctor, investments in building a strong foundation, and other one-off non-recurring costs. Our revenues decreased 2.2% to $77 million, primarily due to the doctor departure in Victoria and the competitive environment in the Australian ARS market, as previously outlined. This impact was partly offset by an average price increase impact of 2% in Australia, strong international revenue growth of 25.8%, and increase in non-invasive prenatal testing income to the tune of $1.6 million. Our EBITDA margin declined to 27% due to the leverage implications from the volume decline in the Australian ARS business, whilst we also continue investing in our people, doctors, science and technology, and international business development, ensuring a strong foundation for future growth. Furthermore, it is worthwhile noting that the one-off non-recurring cost totaled $0.7 million or $700,000, which included legal fees associated with the departing doctor and the restraint legal proceeding, recruitment of key personnel, and some organisational restructure costs. The income tax rate was 28.3% as we generate the benefits of the R&D tax concession and the benefit of a lower corporate tax rate in our Malaysian business. Moving on to slide 13 on capital management. Our balance sheet strength was maintained during first half 18, whereby the net debt to equity ratio was 56.9% at 31st December 2017 versus the prior year at 56.3% on the 30th of June 2017. The net working capital deficit improved to $3.3 million, and in addition, our total syndicated long-term debt facility that we have in place has a blend of 3, 4 and 5 year term debt, with the first tranche not expiring until financial year 2020. We have balance sheet capacity to support strategic growth opportunities and currently have access to debt capacity of $55.1 million. All of our capital management metrics are comfortably compliant with our banking covenants, with our leverage ratio at 2.11 times, significantly better than our banking covenant at less than 3.5 times. Our interest cover at 13.4 times, which is 4.5 times greater than the banking covenant, which is greater than 3 times. Our capital return metrics, although reduced, are still strong, with our return on equity at 15.8% and return on assets at 8.9%. In addition, we declared a 3.4 cent fully franked final dividend, which has moved in line with our earnings performance. The payout ratio is 66.4%, which lies in the mid-range of our dividend policy. As we take a look at the cash flow on slide 14, net operating cash flow post-tax has increased by 37.4%. to $12.5 million, which has supported the funding of our capital investments and dividend payments. Monash IVF continues to have excellent cash flow generation, with an 85% pre-tax earnings conversion, slightly up on the prior year. We also supported a CapEx program of $3 million for the half, focused on enhancements to patient management systems, scientific equipment upgrades, a new ARS service centre and an ultrasound clinic, both located on the Gold Coast. The financing activities included $10.6 million fully franked dividend payment during the half and funding interest costs of $1.6 million. Our free cash flow increased by 61% to $9.5 million for the half, as we now have a more normalized corporate tax installment arrangement versus the prior year. I'll now hand you back to David to cover off the strategy and the outlook.
Thanks, Michael. I'm on page 16 of the presentation. Over the last few months, I've had a really good opportunity to really get to understand the business at a detailed level and get to meet with many of the people, the doctors, the sonologists, our nursing staff, our scientists, and all of our people in our corporate offices. I've also had the opportunity to visit many of our clinics. As a result, we've developed a strategic roadmap that I believe will guide us to deliver sustainable value creation into the future. The strategy will continue to focus on fertility, both for women and men. We will focus on our premium offerings, our diagnostic business, ultrasound, genetics and pathology, and also with a strong focus on expanding offshore in the international market and specifically in Asia Pacific. In order to deliver the strategy, we have come up with four operating objectives. The first one is about customer-patient experience. And what becomes very important there is that we provide customers throughout their fertility journey with an empowering, convenient, and seamless and consistent experience as they go through this journey. And that needs to be supported by two other very important areas of our business, clinical excellence and scientific leadership. Clinical excellence is really about a superb and dynamic clinical operation where we partner with clinicians to deliver a positive customer experience to the patients, and also our scientific leadership, where we need to advance good science and innovative technology with a strong focus on the context and needs of the customer and the clinician to improve fertility outcomes. We also need to make sure that our entire organisation is engaged. We need to attract and retain the best people and engage and empower them to take initiative and be accountable to deliver positive patient outcomes and commercial outcomes. And when we do all of this, we will continue to deliver sustainable value creation, and we will also make a significant contribution to social good. To deliver on this roadmap, we have identified a number of strategic priorities and operational priorities, as I've listed on page 17. We need to focus on the premium fertility offering. We need to improve the integration of our fertility and diagnostic operations. We'll focus on our Australian business and pursue international opportunities. We'll market our strong brand and heritage and our clinician and clinical network and our good science and successful fertility outcomes. We will also drive revenue growth, manage our expenses, and invest in the business to deliver sustainable long-term shareholder value. Our operational priorities are as follows. We need to empower and support our customers throughout their fertility journey, especially embracing all lifestyle factors and choices. We need to recruit additional fertility specialists to expand our operations, both here and overseas. We need to continue to invest in good science and innovative technology that will deliver even better customer experiences, clinical practices, and fertility outcomes. We need to develop a more agile operation with compliant and scalable processes. We need to enhance our digital capabilities supported by an integrated information communication and technology system. And we need to shape our organisation, build the capabilities, and align our people to focus on strategy execution. Now to our full year 2018 outlook. We anticipate the reported full year 18 NPAT will be approximately 25% lower than prior corresponding period. This is due to operational performance, the impact of a high volume doctor departure, and our continued investments to build a stronger foundation for sustainable growth. We have developed a clear strategic roadmap, as I've just mentioned, and we will execute our strategic and operational priorities. And in doing so, we'll create sustainable shareholder value, delivering strong returns into the future while making a significant contribution to social good. I'd like to thank you for the
That's the end of the formal presentation, we'd be happy to take questions, Amber.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from David Stanton from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I wonder if we could start out by asking what low intervention is as a percentage of your total number of fresh cycles, please.
Yeah, hi David, it's Michael. It's about 2% of our total fresh cycles, so a very low focus area of our business.
Great, and then from that, and from the strategic review, just want to confirm you're not planning on increasing that percentage anytime soon. You're going to be staying at the high end.
Yes, absolutely. That's what we plan to do at this stage. Yes.
Great, you know, I'm going to ask it every time you have this call. I mean, diagnostic revenue and ultrasound revenue as a percentage of the total, or any kind of clues as to what you actually did in those segments would be greatly appreciated.
So we don't call it out, but I think historically we've said that ultrasound is around about 17% of our revenue, which was from a couple of years ago when we purchased that business. And the diagnostic part of our business is around about $8 million, including non-invasive prenatal testing and PGS.
Thank you. And then finally, I guess, as a part of the strategic review and staying in that premium segment, you know, going forward, should we expect increases in your marketing spend as a percentage of revenue going forward? Thank you.
Hi David, it's David Morris. Yes, you should expect that. I think it's really important that we deliver an engaging customer experience, and in doing that, a really important part of that is making sure not only are people aware of our offerings, but they're motivated to act.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Chris Callows from Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you for taking my question. Just to clarify, David, that diagnostic $8 million, that's for this half?
Sorry, Chris, the diagnostics revenue?
Yep.
No, that was for a full year.
Okay. Just coming back to the premium service offering, obviously, we understand there's obviously competition at the low end. How intense is the competition at the high end? Are you finding that you're going to be able to sustain a 2% price increase, or is that trending down?
We've clearly got a demonstrated history of around that sort of 2 to 3% price increase. And we've initiated that through our annual review on the 1st of July 2017. We did defer Victoria at the time, you know, subject to a review of pricing and given we're going through a transition with a key clinician. But subsequently, that has been initiated in November, which was about 3.5%. So we think as long as we continue to drive the points of difference through our strategic framework that 3% is sustainable over the long term.
3% volume and 2% pricing?
Yep.
Yep. And also on the Malaysian business, how many specialists are in that practice at the moment?
So we have five specialists.
Five. And you mentioned capacity expansion. What kind of limits can we expect there? I mean, how beyond the volume per specialist, what kind of growth could we expect in Malaysia?
So, you know, you've seen the growth rates at around 22%, and historically they've been demonstrated at that sort of mid-teen growth rates. We see no right reason why that should abate in the medium term.
I'm just, theoretically though, there must be a limit to even five specialists, how many cycles they can handle. How many are they, what's the run rate at the moment?
Yeah, look, there's different fertility specialists at different phases of their career and business development. So I think the fertility specialists that we have could handle close to 1,800 or thereabouts stimulated cycles.
And that includes the capacity constraints of the clinic?
The capacity constraints of the clinic are greater than that. So we could probably treat around three times the current capacity in the new clinic.
Right, great. Thanks for that. And just lastly, on CapEx, looks like a steady pace there. Any changes to full-year forecasts on that?
No. Expect the first half or the second half to be fairly similar to the first half in CapEx.
Okay. And that guidance for the full year, is that the first time you've mentioned that 25% drop?
It is.
Great.
Yes.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, David. That's it from me.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Sean Laman from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my question. I want to know if you have any your granularity or level of visibility, level of confidence around some of the dynamics associated with the key doctor departure, and you know, if you can be sure that share losses are associated solely with that doctor departure, and then given your knowledge of referral habits post that departure, you know, what confidence do you have that you'll eventually and when will you cycle through those share losses?
So the doctor departure occurred in September 2017, so there is a 12-month period up until September 2018 where we'll be cycling through the impact of that doctor departure. If you look at the raw numbers, and clearly we've identified Victoria being affected, we're maintaining about 1 in 3 of the cycles for that particular doctor at the moment, and we're seeing the same sort of impact in our pipeline, which is why the guidance is where it is at, with a 25% decline in FY18 NPAT and more significant in the second half because we take a full 6 month impact of that doctor departure. The underlying sort of doctor's growth rate is better than PCP, so we aren't having any decline in existing doctors, and in fact some of them are growing through you know, pickup of some of the patients that were attributable to Lynn. So we don't see that our doctors that are maintained with us and decline at all. If anything, they are increasing as we are maintaining about 1 in 3 patient treatments from the key doctor's departure.
Great, thank you, Michael. And on the PGS PGD, I think you mentioned in the presentation you're at 20% penetration. Where do you think you can get that to, and how will you get there?
Yeah, I think, Sean, you would have seen over the last 18 months been pretty stagnant. And that's because, you know, there's new information and research that comes out quite regularly, and a part of that research suggests that the predominant benefit is for patients, you know, above 35 and closer to 40 years of age. So it sort of, I guess, constrains the patient profile that you that you better consider, PGS. In saying that, we still have different levels of maturity in different parts of our business, and I think, I guess, a 30% number based on current capability is quite reasonable to get to over the oncoming years.
Great. Thank you, Michael. That's all the questions I have.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I will now hand back to Mr. Morris for closing remarks.
Thank you to all of you for participating in our half-year results announcement. And Michael and I look forward to catching up with many of you in the coming days. Thank you.